feel like Kobe in a fourth quarter.
This is the Dane Moore NBA Podcast, brought to you by Blue Wire Podcasts, and it is 10:33 p.m. on Sunday night, just, literally, I mean, 10, 15, 20 minutes, something like that, after the news is broken that Ryan Saunders has been dismissed as the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Britt Robson of The Athletic is kind enough to jump on with me here and to give we can't describe it as anything other than an instant reaction. Obviously, both Britt in written form and me in podcast form will have more on this in coming days, but this feels like something, Britt, that we have to instantly react to, so I'll give you the floor first.
Well, first of all, it's not a surprise. If there's a surprise, it's that there was no warning or, I think that the question was whether or not Ryan would last the season or not. I don't think you would have gotten really long odds on the idea that he was going to be the head coach of the 21-22 season. So
really long, yeah, really long.
Right. So the situation is, why now? And, you know, that's something we can get into. But I would say that, so let me organize my thoughts this way. I will say that I am surprised it happened tonight, but I am not surprised that it happened. I would have guessed sometime around the trading deadline, quite frankly. I would have guessed that they would have had a little more time together with Cat back. It does not necessarily surprise me that they did not want to wait. When I say they, I assume I'm meaning mostly Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations, although I would imagine he ran it by Glenn Taylor.
I mean, Britt, this has been in the works for days pretty clearly. I mean, the reporting, and I think we all trust Shams as much as anyone, that, I mean, there's already a multi-year contract in place for Chris Finch.
Oh, there is. Okay, see, I don't...
we're literally, yeah, so this could be some of that, okay. Probably for both of us, okay. where we're picking up things as we go. But Chris Finch is the new head coach, and he's on a multi-year contract. Chris Finch was also interviewed for the head coaching job back right when Gerson was hired. So there is, you know, to say there isn't some sort of backlog here.
Right. Most people
dating back 2 years.
Most people predicted that if Rosas had time to hire somebody, that it would be Chris Finch. It is kind of remarkable. He's currently a lead head assistant coach with another team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he's the lead assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors. That is a new position for him this year. He was the lead assistant,
right?
Yes, in New Orleans last year with Alvin Gentry. That whole coaching staff obviously overturned when Stan Van Gundy took over. And you know, previously, the background in which Chris Finch and Gerson Rosas know each other is through Houston. Chris Finch was at one time the head coach of the Rio Grande Valley Vipers,
yes,
in which Gerson Rosas was the GM of that team. Right. So those guys go way back. That was, you know, that Rio Grande Valley team was the team that started, right, the crazy, everything we saw the Rockets become in terms of favoring the, you know, the 3-point shot. Gerson was there for, and Chris Finch was there for a good chunk of that time as well. So they certainly have a track record together, but to your point, what you brought up is that, and why I think both of us kind of thought this would come at a later date, is because he was under contract with another team, and we thought that if he was going
to
be the next guy,
have to wait.
That would happen. Yeah, you'd have to wait, and that, you know, Saunders would either finish the season or that an interim head coach from the staff would be named. And I think that's what a lot of people are going to be, you know, cocking their heads at, is why is David Vanderpool not the interim head coach? I just saw on Twitter, Damian Lillard is sounding off about it, that he obviously loves DV. But that is, I mean, that is going to be a surprise to many who kind of thought that Vanderpool was the coach in waiting. What I've tried to been asserting the whole time is I thought Chris Finch was going to be the next head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves if and when this happened to Ryan.
Yeah, I've heard some other people say that too. And I guess it comes back to the Wolves recently had two games with Toronto very, very, you know, quickly. So,
right.
So the organizations were in proximity twice in the last 2 weeks or last 10 days.
Yeah, well, the last Raptors game was on Friday night, right? Yeah.
And the one before that was like 5 days earlier or something, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so in the last 10 days. So I would imagine that's when things probably, were
accelerated,
hammered out or whatever. So then, I guess you have to wonder, I guess what I would have to say is that if the decision was made 2 weeks ago, or maybe D'Lo injury ago, let's say that. Because there was always a point where the read Ryan could stand on is he never had a chance to get the two guys that Gerson Rosas believes can make this a winning franchise.
And Glenn had extended that read himself too, Glenn Taylor, which made that seem a little bit more firm, that's what Ryan was standing on.
Right. So once D'Lo's injury happened, that 4 to 6 week period apparently is too long of a wait for Gerson Rosas. And see, I always looked at this from the point of view, and I've said this many times, general managers, POBOs, whatever you want to call them, personnel people, fire the coach as the first scapegoat. It buys them a little time, at the same time acknowledges that the heat is on. It removes a shield that has been in front of the general manager, or in this case, Rosas, the president of the basketball operations. So that is now gone. And by going with Finch over Vanderpool, that to some extent is the burning of another bridge of, you know, in some way, shape or form. When I did my—
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's true. I hadn't even gone there.
When I did my story on Vanderpool, he waxed eloquent about how much the organization was doing, preparing him to become a head coach, doing kind of like faux head coaching interviews and preparing his presentation in terms and getting him ready to think about ways, and also including him in a lot of the things that Ryan does, so he would get an idea as to exactly what's going on. None of these things he had in Portland. So,
and we should say that, I mean, you, of all the media people, know David Vanderpool better than the rest of us do. And that's just kind of the nature of, I mean, the media, where we don't get to talk to the assistant head coaches often, and you're the only person who's written a story.
Yeah,
I had to
jump through the hoops and go through the thickets to get that. But yes, I was able, and I found him to be very charming, and I think the piece was mostly positive because it reflected my positive feelings about it. It's really damning with faint praise, but if you look at this Wolves roster and you say for the past 2 years their defense has outperformed their offense, that's hardly a ringing endorsement when that defense is still bottom third in the NBA. But it is interesting to see that. I think Vanderpool will have no choice but to feel a bum.
I'm not sure Vanderpool is going to be there on Tuesday, man. You think Vanderbilt's going to coach the game on Tuesday?
I think it's certainly possible, yes. He's still under contract.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happened when Tibbs was fired, though, and Andy Greer was out with him, too. I mean, all those guys left. And Ryan basically, he brought in – I mean, it was kind of guys were elevated, and then guys started kind of coming in as the season went on.
And some were holdovers.
True.
And so, again it definitely remains to be seen. Put it this way, there is a game in 36 hours or what is it?
Somebody's got to be there.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to take a step back though for a minute, because first of all, The whole news about Finch, I'm really glad you apprised me of. I basically just saw a few Twitter reports, my colleague John Krasinski's tweet about Ryan leaving, and then shortly thereafter said, you want to do an instant reaction pod? And I said, sure, after I banged off a couple of tweets of my own. But essentially, I want to first say, you know, on the way out the door that I don't think Ryan Saunders was a very good coach. I think the record reflects that. But that's not the relevant story anymore because he's no longer the coach. What he is, I think, is a guy who will be well regarded and always have a job in this, in the NBA, because he is a good soldier when it comes to being on a coaching staff. He knows the game. He is in the fraternity. He's, you know, nepotism is a big part of the NBA in general. Rick Adelman's kid, you know, you go down the list. There's almost everybody who's got a position of authority in basketball has got tentacles out and they're connected to somebody, you know, and so that's just the way it's a family, it's a brotherhood, and Ryan is in that firmament. And so,
Brett, I want to assert too that he was offered the head assistant job to Fizdale in Memphis when Memphis took that job, which is years before all of this happened. And I always kind of use that as a point of reference to say when people would really play the nepotism card and say, oh, he's not remotely deserving of a high coaching spot. Well, there's no nepotism. There was no nepotism between Ryan Saunders and David Fizdale. Right. You know, it was to your point, he is respected within the firmament. And now, you know, maybe there's been some sort of referendum given he had a 43-94 record here as the coach of the Timberwolves and all this and that. But I think you're right. And particularly the good soldier point. Right. I don't think he was ready to be a head coach.
There are different roles on a coaching staff. And one of the roles is the guy who works with the players day by day, listens to their concerns, lets them work out the mental and emotional kinks as well as the physical things that are, you know, the hitch in their shot or, you know, something, getting them over the hill or something. And Ryan is really good at that. I think that, right, the record speaks for itself. As always with the Wolves, there's plenty of blame to go around, but he gets some of it. And so I would agree with that. I do want to say, though, what I said in my tweet was that I think he has a rare depth of dignity among human beings. And, you know,
Ryan, 100%.
And so, you know, and at the end of the day, basketball fans who are only concerned about basketball don't really care about that, you know, to the extent that it doesn't affect their lives watching the Timberwolves. But I will say that people within the game who interact with him and we in the media who interact with him, and you've acknowledged right up front that it has no choice but to bias you in favor of pulling for the guy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that and knowing the bias is there and knowing how he earned that, you know. And to some extent, he earned that with me too. I am not saying that Ryan Saunders shouldn't have been fired. That's not the point. It's a moot point, for one thing. And any more than when people said that you should say that Ryan should be fired when he still had the job, that's not, you know, playing with people's lives is really not some, you know, in terms of coaching tenures and all that other stuff, Ed Pearson's job is not something I necessarily want to do in that respect. But what I will say is that he is a first-class human being who will land on his feet within the NBA if he so chooses, and that the Timberwolves at the same time probably made the right decision. The timing of the decision can be debated, whether or not Ryan was going to be the coach that led them to a sustainable winning team, I think was very much in doubt, to the point where I would say that that wasn't ever going to happen.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of that, and would say that I've had similar but different experiences than you, and I've shared this on the podcast before. It was actually after that Orlando game where I thought that Ryan might be let go then, after that Cole Anthony shot, and I was just, you know, sitting here and the heat was really turning up on Ryan, and I just kind of wanted to, you know, to get it out there if and when it ever happens that, yeah, that I or we do have biases in the media. And I would like to say for me that I can be objective and have be objective. I mean, I think last game, for example, I ripped apart the going for a 2-for-1 and everything that transpired at the end of that Raptors right. game. And I think that's just my job. But I think it's also being a human, you and I, to acknowledge that it's funny, in our jobs, we don't have many coworkers.
Right.
And honestly, one of the people we most closely work with over the past 3 years has been Ryan Saunders. And to that end, Ryan's been a great coworker for me. And friend isn't the right word, because it doesn't work like that.
No, neither way. It would not do anybody any good to be friends.
And that's why I say that to clarify.
Right.
But you know, I mean, in similar ways to ways that you've been good to me, or John or other guys on the beat have been, you know, good to me. I'm pretty new to this, you know. And it's felt good to be respected by people that I respect, and Ryan Saunders treated me that way too. And when I sit here and I think about Ryan Saunders getting fired, I think about what was about 6-8 months ago when I lost my job. And I'm, you know, it's the middle of a pandemic and I'm sitting in my little one bedroom apartment and I'm like, why the hell did I get into sports journalism? This was a questionable life pivot. I got a call from Ryan Saunders. And I literally hadn't even called my mom or dad or anyone yet. Like, I just found out. I don't know how the hell he found out, actually. Uh-huh. Like, but you know, yeah, I mean, I'm just not going to forget, like, I'm not going to forget that. That was, that meant a lot to me. And it was, you know, it was a 45-minute conversation. And I remember talking to him at the time, you know, and him saying, I was like, yeah, man, you know, it's going to be funny. Like, we're going to run into each other sometime, you know, 20, 25 years down the road at Summer League or whatever. And we're going to talk about when I was 30 and you were 33. And it was my first year on the Timberwolves beat. And you were the brand new head coach and all this and that. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I still plan on being the head coach of the Timberwolves 20 years from now, Dane. And I was like, yeah, 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 for sure, for sure. But, you know, I mean, he was, I don't think if I stay in this industry that I will have a dynamic like that with a coach, because he's pretty much my age. I grew up in Hopkins. He grew up in Wayzata. We have very, obviously very different lives. His father's Flip Saunders. Right. Mine isn't. But it's always been a really interesting thing for me to just kind of think about when I'm just kind of sitting at games. And I'm like, yeah, that dude went to high school next to me. And it's a bizarre thing. And I just, you know, as a person, I feel for him. And I think if you lose this job that your father had, a dream job, again, just as a human, that's kind of sad. Uh-huh. You know, that's a right. kind of sad failure.
And that's why he and turned I'm down the Memphis job.
You would think. So I'm with you. I think Ryan's going to land on his feet. One, because he's respected in the firmament. But two, because that dude's a worker. Mm-hmm. Like, and will be a good soldier for someone else. And I know he maybe overstayed his welcome with the fan base, in the eyes of the fan base, just because they got so frustrated, you know, this year. But I guess all that I would say to people listening to this is that, you know, Ryan's a good dude, and I'm grateful for the way that he treated me, some random guy with a podcast, you know, with a lot of respect.
Right. Right. Well, good. I did want to get, you know, that side of things before we get too far ahead of ourselves in terms of the next moves, because I do think that the way things work, we're not going to be talking about Ryan Saunders anymore unless it's going to be about something he did that, you know,
right.
That's the way this business works. Until he gets a job somewhere else, you know, it just doesn't happen, you know, unless he comes to town. Mm-hmm. I hadn't talked about Tibbs until, you know, the last 24 yeah, right. hours, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, that's the way it works in this business. I mean, and I will say, you know, that I don't think Ryan Saunders was a good coach for this team, but I've seen the Timberwolves
some.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Rogers,
Man, you say Jimmy Rogers every time. I literally, you could put a lineup of people out there and say, one of these five is Jimmy Rogers, and I would not get it on the five.
Well, you know, and he was actually, if you watch a lot of the Celtics winning championships in the late 80s and early 90s, he was the first lieutenant. He was the guy. He was the tall, thin guy with the silver hair. that was Jimmy Rogers. That's why he got the job. He was a great lieutenant, lousy captain. But anyway, Jimmy Rogers, Sidney Lowe, Kurt Rambis, Randy Whitman. I mean, three of those guys had winning percentages under 250, you know.
Okay, here's my question, though. Like, at what point, when we're looking at the worst win-loss records of all time, and it says Kurt Rambis' name next to it, and now Ryan Saunders' name is going to be next to it, under 30%, whatever, all these guys, Cindy Lowe.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying any of those guys were good coaches, or maybe not Ryan either, but we got to attribute a hell of a lot of to those numbers to being the fact that they were coaching the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is a franchise that keeps doing this, that keeps missing on the margins so much that they can't make anyone work. Like, what? I guess I pivot to this. What's your confidence in the idea that they're going to make the next guy work, Chris Finch?
Well, I never. That's not the attitude I ever take, to be honest with you. I always say, okay. Next up is Chris Finch, you know, and he's working with Gerson Rosas. It's a new combination. I have no idea what's going to happen. He may be brilliant. My opinion of Gerson Rosas 2 months ago was a lot better than it is now. I mean, things change. I have no idea. The great thing is you're open to whatever is next. You know, this is another sharp pivot. But you know, I remember the first time I met Flip Saunders. It was the day after Bill Blair got fired, and he came down and met with the media, and all of a sudden he was the head coach, and he was originally the general manager, and Kevin McHale had put his friend in charge. That was what everybody thought, you know? And so, and I remember, you know, that first interview with him and talking to him, and how much he wanted to stay. And, you know, I asked him two questions when most of the media, you know, had gotten their daily beat story. And he was interested in answering those questions. And I've written this before, but he's probably taught me more about the game than any single person. And so that, you know, it is, and he was just somebody who loved to talk about basketball. And I was, let me see, this would have been like, 93 or 94 or something. So
94, right,
94.
I think.
Yeah. So I was 40, 41. So, you know.
And he probably was too.
Yeah, he was right around there. Yeah, in fact, I think I'm 2 years older than him or something. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like me and Ryan.
Exactly, exactly.
Just because I don't want to keep you here for too long, let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk about, the next steps.
Sure.
What's up, everybody? We have something to tell you about here at Blue Wire, and that is that we love sports betting. And whether you've been betting for a while or you're thinking about getting started, we want to let you know great resources for sports bettors, and that's the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and experience real financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. And with an Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for an Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes expert projections for every game. You can see money and bet percentages on every game. You can see the teams professional gamblers are betting on. You can take advantage of Pro systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines. You can track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. So if you're looking to bet smarter, an Action Network Pro subscription is the way to get started. And for a limited time, our listeners can receive 50% off an annual Pro subscription. Just go to actionnetwork.com and receive 50% off an annual subscription when you use the code MORE50, MORE50. This offer won't last, so go to actionnetwork.com to sign up for a Pro subscription and use promo code MORE50 to receive 50% off and start betting smarter today. Britt, obviously we're going to have time to put our brains together on more of this, but this is an extreme pivot for the franchise, and it will define the end of or the extension of the Karl Anthony Towns era in Minnesota. And tonight, which at the time seemed out of nowhere, he made a pretty bold statement. After Jace asked him about how he felt played in the fourth quarter, Kat started talking about his legacy, which seemed a bit bizarre, but Kat said this: "If you want to build a legacy, we got to win. I want to build my legacy here. I want to win with the Wolves, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to step by step, brick by brick, build something." That sounds like somebody who knew something was in the works.
And was proclaiming his loyalty to the organization in case anybody thought it was a choice between an organization and an individual. He was saying,
"Exactly,
I'm with the organization."
But it's also, he, after the last game, which was on Friday,
well,
when I asked him about, no, I did. I mean, that makes, he put a pretty
sense.
Hard stamp.
That makes total
stamp
sense
on the Ryan,
because he still thought he had a shot at rescue.
Okay,
once,
yeah, that's a good
once
point.
The shot at rescue was not there anymore, he had to make a choice.
Right.
But it may have been up in the air at that point, and he may have.
Yeah, decided. He wouldn't have. You're right. You're right. There's no way Kat knew that Ryan was getting fired on Friday night, because what I asked him was, "Is this the most locked in you've ever been on defense?" Another whatever blah question, and he said, "The reason I am is because I've had continuity in my coaching staff and system for the past two seasons,"
right,
which is a full-throated endorsement of Ryan.
And he probably knew something was in the works. I mean, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to spring it on him. I think they were going to basically say, "This is what we're considering," or "What do you think?"
Do you think if you're Kat, though, you say that if you know a coaching exchange is in the works?
Well, I mean, you don't know it's in the works. Maybe you're trying to stop it. I mean, first of all, we don't know. But I do think that if you read the tea leaves.
We know an incredibly little about right now at 11 p.m.
Well,
on Sunday night.
But if you read the tea leaves, a guy coming out and proclaiming that he wants the continuity of the coaching staff at a time when the head coach has been in battle for weeks and now apparently was already moves were being made to replace him. He was trying to perform a rescue operation, if I read this right. I mean, I don't know if that's true,
right,
but that would be my best guess at it. And then what?
It's an interesting sequence of quotes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise it's amazingly coincidental that he would choose to invoke that then and choose to say what he said tonight. That's somebody who fought the good fight to keep Ryan, lost that fight and said, "Okay, well, I'll stay and fight other battles within this terrain."
I'm fascinated to see how Chris Finch determines to use Kat offensively, because you and I have gone back and forth on this. I think maybe a pot or two when we were doing it, we're like, well, is it the best option to be running him kind of in that high quad area as in that five out sort of offense and just letting him quarterback from there? Or does it still make sense to, you know, to kind of post him up or have some of those elbow touch isolations? It's been this in the Ryan time. It's been this weird back and forth between those two things. And if anything, I think if we are making some bullet points of things that went well from a coaching standpoint under the Ryan time, was that last year in those first 37 games before Cat got hurt, it looked really smart to put Cat at the top of the key there and let him shoot 8 or 9 threes a game. From a numbers standpoint, it was as good as, you know, as Cat has ever been.
That's what I would endorse that strategy. Yes.
And Chris Finch is an offensive guy. That is his label. That's his background. He's the Pablo Prigioni of the Pelicans or the Raptors. That's his cachet. So I'm fascinated to see that, because that will be defining in what Cat becomes.
The question I asked Ryan tonight, and I think is the most important question right now, you know, other than things like why can't they win close games, et cetera, but I mean, in terms of schematically, if you have an incredible offensive force like Cat, you have a great shooter like Beasley and a burgeoning volume scorer like Ant all on the court at the same time, what do you run to maximize the three of them? It is very obvious thus far that they could not be maximized. They would,
100%.
You know, that's why Beasley began to get more time with the second unit, I think, to just figure out a way to give him, and Ryan saying, you know, well, I think that, you know, I've got to pay more attention to getting Beasley touches and, you know, so on and so forth. And we hadn't even talked about Edwards, you know, which, by the way, you know, a lot of the fan base wants him to become the point guard, which would last about as long as people wanted Andrew Wiggins and Jared Culver to be the point guard last year. I mean, where do you get a look at it, folks? You know, it's going to be, you know, I can see him. Right. I can see him matching up with real point guards and trying to do that cool crossover low dribble that he likes that almost never goes anywhere toward the basket.
Well, that, Britt, that's what now I'm just kind of like smacking me in the face. Like, the bullshit's over. Like, the stuff that, The trying to square peg, round hole, all the Okogie shooting threes above the break, all the wishful thinking of be everything, like, Finch isn't going to do that anymore. This isn't going to be, right? I mean, am I wrong in assuming that they're going to actually start trying now? And I'm serious that all that stuff is, there's been so many things over the course of time that have been wishful. That's the word I would do. There are these coaching strategies that are wishful. It's not bad to have your shooting guard shoot threes. It's bad if your shooting guard is Josh Okogie.
Right.
It's not bad to have your power forward guard Pascal Siakam. It's bad if your power forward is Juancho Hernangómez. There's all these sort of things that were wishful. And I don't think a coach who's coming in and has the primary goal to be winning will do that. Now, I guess that's the question of, is this team out of tank mode now?
I think a greater question is, who signed Juancho? Who put Okogie, you know, where he is? You have to understand that it's entirely possible that Juancho's minutes go up at the expense of Jaden McDaniels.
I am being wishful in my thinking that they are going to start being less dogmatic.
Where do you think that the conflicts between Ryan and Gerson happen? Let's take it from that angle.
That's a Juancho being on the bench.
And perhaps Jaden McDaniels, you know, getting crunch time minutes guarding fours or whatever, or I don't know. I mean, maybe Rosas regarded it as too fast a development. Maybe he's used to bringing people along and knows how he wants to bring McDaniel along. I don't know. it would make.
I don't know either, but those two were definitely bumping heads.
And it certainly would make sense to me that if I'm Ryan Saunders and I want to keep my goddamn job, that I would play Jaden McDaniels in crunch time come hell or high water. And so the fact that there were times when he didn't do that, you know, I don't know. This is all, again, kind of moot speculation. We'll see. But my only pushback on you is that we don't know. There is a joint agenda here. You know, Chris Finch is a Gerson Rosas guy and vice versa. He's Rosas's guy. So what we will see, I would imagine, is a more consonant and competent utilization of Rosas's vision. And because Finch, I would imagine, even though he's never been an NBA head coach, will be coming in with more gravitas than Ryan did in terms of X's and O's type things and that kind of stuff, I think. And I think that we will see what the hammered out collective vision is there and whether or not Chris Finch is going to be straight enough with us to say when what's his thing, you know?
My guess is that he's going to try to win as much as possible, because that is...
I think that's Rosas's view too, because let's face it. I mean, Rosas is also thinking, okay, from 0 to 40 is big, but from 13 to 40,
yes,
you know...
And it's, right, in terms of odds. And it wouldn't even... It could be less than that. Right. I mean, what I've said all along was I think there is a switch that they have been flipping on and off in terms of prioritizing winning to the fullest extent versus, you know, we'll turn the light off for a little while here and, like, you know, let things play out. And I think they've done that. And what we all assumed was that, okay, once D'Lo's back and Kat's back, it's obviously like full bore ahead. Like, let's try and create an identity. Let's try and win some games.
And that is going to be, I mean, we both agree that D'Lo and Kat remain, that thing has to be worked out and implemented to see if it doesn't work, right?
For sure. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm skeptical of it, but...
Well, I'm extremely skeptical of it, but I do think that that's going to be Chris Finch's first big, you know, shoulder to the Sisyphean wheel, you know? I mean, he's basically going to have
and quite frankly,
that sucker up the hill.
I have more faith in Chris Finch making that work than Ryan, though.
Yeah, I agree. But
just on pedigree.
Yeah. But here again, you know,
I can't believe Ryan only coached the team, or he coached the team and he coached 5 games of Kat and D'Lo together. I mean, I know we say that all the 150. That is insane. That is just insane. I can't.
115 minutes. So in other words,
if you throw Ant into the mix, it's like 23. If you put Ant in there too, three pieces.
And take the Tibbs matrix of, let's say, 38 minutes. That's only 3 games.
I mean, we also got to point this out. Kind of dirty to do Ryan like that after a loss to Tibbs.
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't think they're as much at odds as people think they are. I think that...
No, it's the framing. I mean,
look,
I don't know. I
Tibbs didn't cover himself in glory tonight. So, you know, let's
that's true. That I just
like
think
a pretty
that's...
bad team too. They were wanting to hit, you know, it was two teams that wanted to give the game away.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might just be a Glenn thing. He might just do his firings before Mondays. Cause remember, Tibbs was fired on a Sunday afternoon too. That might just be a Glenn thing.
Well, anyway, the point being, I think that the two takeaways that I have from this is that Rosas now has to be, he is more exposed. This is now, there was always some doubts. There was always the whispers that the country club had one last tentacle and they were putting everything on it. And there were still a lot of people whose opinion I respect, who still thought that the Ryan hire was mandated, that all the interviews were a dog and pony show, and that, you know, one.
I think Gerson saw opportunity in that, Britt, where he goes, okay, it's somewhat mandated. Well, Ryan's a good soldier. We're planning on being bad for the next 2 years. Having an inexperienced head coach that is a good soldier will help us lose games.
Okay, exactly.
I think that was in the cocktail. Right.
So if that's true, then that tentacle to, you know, yeah, you can have this job, but do me a favor, will you? You know, and so that favor has been paid now, apparently, and it's gone. And so now this is.
That doesn't make me feel very good if that's the case.
And here's the other part of it is that is also on Gerson, right or wrong. I mean, he may have made that calculation, but that's part of his legacy now. I mean, it isn't just Ryan who's 40 and 90. Gerson Rosas is 40 and 90.
Facts. Yeah, I mean,
and
I think it's easier. Yeah,
and now it's Gerson without that first shield. Chris Finch is it, you know.
Which excites me as somebody who wants to cover the team, and we've been digging through this forever. I mean, it
change is almost always a good thing when it comes to the Timberwolves because we've gotten used to the status quo.
Exactly. I mean, I think, yeah, and I think you know what for the fan base too, man. Like this has been, I mean, this has been grating on because the fans, you know, here like if they're following, like they're following the team,
yeah.
And it's, I think it's good for them to have something to just to know it's a new chapter, right? Like, I think that's what this fan base has started itching for was just like, what are we doing here with Ryan? You know, like even those who, you know, got it or get some of it is like, okay, yeah, like, yeah, some of these players are younger, they're not executing, but still like we got to get on with the get on. And I was slow to move to the whole, like, it's time to move on from Ryan. But, like, it's time to move on from Ryan. And with that, I'm excited to watch, like, a team that's ready to compete. And I'm curious, like I said, I'm curious to see what it looks like with Kat. And I'm curious to see how, like, all in they are on winning.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of dance happens now. There's all kinds of new relationships coming.
No, for us too.
And well, yeah, well, it's true, but that's okay too. You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
In fact, I want to mention this. There are people who talk about access, you know, and what we will do for access. I won't do jack shit for access. Access can go fuck itself. You know, I mean, if access is going to prevent me from saying what I think, then I don't need access. That's the way I've always felt. So, I mean, for the people who think that. And I would imagine that's true of you too. I mean, I don't, you know, there is absolutely nothing I say or do that has anything to do with whether or not I get to talk to the head coach or not, or talk to the Pobo or not, or, you know, whatever. I haven't even set foot in Target Center this year because of the pandemic. And it bothers me because I don't get to see the game 360 like I used to. It's now in a television screen, even my big ass 65-inch television. It's not the same. And so, but the point being that you can't be in the position we're in. We're outsiders by nature. Anyway, at least I know I'm an outsider by nature. I don't want the staff beat by, you know, guy grind. I want to be able to say and think and do what I want to do. And that, in some ways, you know, it's certainly access doesn't make that necessarily better. Anyway, just wanted to get it off.
And no, I would echo that.
You know, he's saying this, he's supporting Ryan because he has to, because it's access. He needs his access. Go fuck yourself, you know? Seriously, go fuck yourself.
And I would say, well, for me, we have a different job than John Krasinski or Jace Frederick or Chris Hine have.
Exactly.
And I would say in audio version,
that's why
I have
they
a similar
get to ask the
job to you
before we do.
Exactly. So that's what I wanted to get to is it's not like you or I have that much access in the first place from on the press conferences sort of thing. Now, you know, there's text messages and phone calls and all that sort of stuff. But by definition, because I don't know, because you're a freelance writer or because I don't work for a platform, we don't have much access in the first place. So I'm grateful to be able to go to the games.
That
I'm grateful to have
the
a credential.
Only access I really need.
I'm grateful for that. There's a time in my life where I didn't have that and I was trying to write about the team, and that has made a massive change. I mean, it's frustrating, I guess, for me, because I think that your content and my content are both strengthened by when we can ask a question.
Right.
When you can ask a question for your column or when I can too. But there's priorities down the line, which are the beat reporters and national people over us.
And they'll say what they say. You know, I mean, at least we don't have to deal with the radio and TV guys now, you know?
I mean, that's the whole thing here. They're going to come back, because whatever happens when somebody gets fired, they're going to come back in here for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I know. It's going to be a clusterfuck. I mean, it really
is. I won't get a single question for the next couple of weeks.
That's okay, though.
But,
you know?
No, that's because they will fade off again, as they always do. And it's
the furrowed brows with makeup.
Oh, man. All right, Britt. Before we start saying anything stupid, it's late. Thank you for doing this. Well, let's. What is it, Sunday?
Yeah, we'll do it. Still find a way later in the week.
Yeah, expand on our thoughts a little bit, and
yeah, this is
better be writing something.
Podcast, I think.
No, that's how it always is.
That's what you get.
That 100%. That's why people are like. I'm like, dude, it takes me a long time to like parse out my thoughts. If I don't have 57 bullet points in front of me, I'm going to say a hell of a lot. And this was an instant reaction. And this is my instant reaction. And I think we got off the things that we wanted to say about it. And I would just, you know, I think the biggest thing and the biggest emotion I have personally is I feel bad for Ryan. I understand the move from the Timberwolves perspective. And I'm fascinated to see what happens next, because this is going to be defining for the Rosas regime, for the Cat era, and for the Timberwolves franchise in general, because I think if they mess this up, they're going to move.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think Glenn will keep his cool.
That's just my abiding opinion on the situation.
Glenn has a Second Amendment-like commitment to keeping the Wolves. I think he'll pry that team from his cold, clammy hands. But
they get clammy eventually. That's all I'm saying.
And that's fine.
That's how life works.
Okay, fair enough. And
or they get cold.
All I will say is it'll be amazing how much it reverts back to, you know, 300 or 400 basketball. And, you know, we're back to, we'll be reading tea leaves. But again, the greater picture is no, you know, incredible surge. Maybe they'll get a slight bump, but I'm actually more interested in whether or not Rosa stays pat or is able to do something significant at the trading deadline now that he doesn't have one of those shields in front of him. So that's another thing I'll be looking forward to. Can he improve this team in ways, because let's face it, nobody thought that, you know, Jaden McDaniels was part of an 8-man rotation at the beginning of
the
season.
No, for sure.
And so, you know, that kind of thing, or...
And he probably didn't either, Britt. Like, the chess pieces have moved around for him, too.
That's my point, you know? So what do you do? You know, can you get rid of people you are no longer desirous of? And again,
for
you
sure.
know, and so... and
you know they're going to test it.
They'll
be testing
the watch. It's fascinating to see how it all works out. All right. Well, good enough.
All right, man. Thank you for doing it. That's Britt Robson, at Britt Robson on Twitter. I'm sure I'll probably come back and record something tomorrow. It's an off day. The Wolves are in Milwaukee on Tuesday. This will be an interesting week. Until then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah.